From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Listener, welcome back to the English service from the Voice of Indonesia. Today we have the news, we have the commentary, we have much more for you. But first, let's begin with the news. Stay tuned in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo orders Coordinating Ministry of Maritime and Investment to increase the amount of investment and import substitution. President Joko Widodo targets 5 new Bali ready late 2020. Now, the news in detail. President Joko Widodo chaired a limited cabinet meeting related to submissions of programs and activities in the field of maritime affairs and investment at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. In his introduction, President Joko Widodo asked Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, to focus the programs and activities of the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime and Investment on a breakthrough program to reduce the trade transactions deficit and the current account deficit. He also asked Minister Luhut to increase investment in the country while reducing dependence on imports. One of the highlights is the imports of fuels, which is currently still affecting the current account and trade transactions. President Joko Widodo also asked his staffs to increase domestic oil productions as a substitute to reduce the amount of fuel imports.
Yang pertama, menyiapkan dan membuat program-program terobosan dalam rangka menekan defisit.
The first thing to prepare and make breakthrough programs is to reduce the current account deficit and the trade balance deficit. We must ensure that we can continue to increase investment and at that the same time, we can also reduce dependence on imported goods, especially fuels, which bring about huge impact on our trade balance deficit and the current account. And he also emphasized the increase in domestic oil productions so that the implementation of new and renewable energy policies must also be accelerated, especially the mandatory accelerations from B20 to B30 and move to B50 and B100.
Implementasi dari kebijakan energi baru terbarukan juga harus dipercepat lagi, terutama percepatan mandatory untuk dari B20 menjadi B30, nanti melompat ke B50 dan B100.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also highlighted investment. He asked his staff to focus on increasing investment in certain sectors. We want to focus our investment in the future. We don't want to pursue all, so we don't concentrate and we miss. I want Morowali to be copied for raw materials products that we have been exporting, such as bauxite. Why not make it into half-finished goods or finished goods at the same time by partnering with state-owned companies or private sectors? Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also asked his staff to continue to improve the investment climate in the country so that the world trust rate related to investment in the country would be better. President Joko Widodo asked his staff to focus on developing the Indonesian tourism sector in tourism destination. When opening the limited cabinet meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo said that 5 tourism destinations are Lake Toba, Borobudur, Labuan Bajo, Mandalika, and Manado. He also said that the tourism area development activities will be carried out by the government in these 5 destinations. He also targets the development of 5 tourism areas to be completed by the end of 2020.
Kemudian yang berkaitan dengan pariwisata, Sekali lagi kita konsentrasi dulu kepada 5 lokasi.
Regarding tourism, once again, we first concentrate on 5 locations, the concentration of infrastructure there. The calendar of event also concentrates there. There is improvements of people-based economic products. Community-based tourism also remains in the location that I have often mentioned, like Toba, Borobudur, Labuan Bajo, Mandalika, and Manado. Concentration there we target is the end of 2020, completed all. Airport completed, the seaport has been completed, tourism products and the calendar of events have also been completed.
Pelabuhan rampung, produk-produk wisata, calendar of eventnya juga rampung, sisi lingkungannya saya juga ada perintah ke Menteri LHK juga di situ disiapkan nursery, disiapkan persemaian untuk menghijaukan kawasan-kawasan itu biar lebih baik juga bisa kita selesaikan.
The government has targeted 10 new major tourism destinations known as 10 New Bali. Of the 10 destinations, 5 of them are targeted to be ready by the end of 2020. Ministry of Research and Technology and National Innovation and Research Agency held a national seminar of Professional Organization of Science and Technology and Second National Conference of Science and Technology of Professions Organization Communication 2019 in Jakarta on Wednesday. General Chairman of Science and Technology of Professions Organization Communication, Hermanto Dardak, at the event explained that his side encouraged professionals, organizations of science and technology to enhance synergy of professionals and competitive human resources. The government builds synergy of interprofessional organization and profession of human resources that manage organization. Members of Science and Technology of Professional Organization Forum, FOPI, are professionals organization, but they are also executives at the organization. How do we manage the professional organization in order to be globally competitive? Moreover, Hermanto Dardak mentioned that the missions of Science and Technology of Professional Organization Forum are collaboration, coordination, and synergy of interprofessional organization of science and technology. The forum also facilitates the communication among organizations by having support from Minister of Research and Technology. The seminar, with the theme Building Excellent, Professionals and Independent Indonesian Human Resources, involved 100 representatives of professional organizations across Indonesia, namely Indonesian Scholars Association and Professionals Health Society, Indonesian Lecturers Association, and Indonesian Institutes of Accountants. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend a series of meetings at 35th Asian Summit in Bangkok, Thailand on November 2nd and 4th. 2019, Antaranus Agency reported that Director General of Asian Cooperation of Indonesian Foreign Ministry Affairs, Jose Tavares, at a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, mentioned that the plenary meeting of Asian Summit will be attended by leaders and heads of states of Asian members on Saturday. On Sunday, President Joko Widodo will join the opening of 35th Asian Summit and several meetings of senior official meeting of Asian members with its partnership, namely Asian-China Summit. Moreover, on Monday, leaders of Asian members and partners countries will hold other several meetings, such as Asian-US Plus 3 and Asian-US Summit. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Mahfud MD, asked each university not to forbid its students from holding discussions on campus. This was affirmed by Minister Mahfud when he was a key speaker at Pajajaran University, Bandung, West Java on Wednesday. He also pointed out that the discussion is a campus academic culture that could build democracy. The campus is encouraged to let students hold discussions for the good of democracy. He also added that it is unfortunate if the academic achievements of students are not accompanied by social awareness. Deputy Speakers of Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Rahmat Gobel, mentioned that Indonesia and Turkey have 5 strengths of cooperation in establishing bilateral relations. This was affirmed by Rahmat Gobel in his remarks representing the Indonesian government at the receptions of the 96th Turkish National Day in Jakarta Tuesday night. He also pointed out that the strength of strategic industries, trade, investment, tourism, and education. In the field of strategic industries, Rahmat Gobel said that Indonesia and Turkey jointly produced Tiger medium tanks. While in the fields of trade, The value of trade between Indonesia and Turkey reached $1.79 billion in 2018, an increase of 4.7% compared to 2017. Gopal added that the two countries must work even harder to reach the target of $10 billion.
Our trade values has reached $1.79 billion in 2018, an increase of 4.7% compared to 2017. We need to work even harder to achieve the target of $10 billion in 2023, which was set by our two leaders in Ankara in 2017. For the purpose, the two countries need to accelerate the conclusion of Indonesia-Turkey's Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or ITSEPA.
Furthermore, Ahmad Gobel said that in the investment sector, more than 50 Turkish companies invest in Indonesia, and Indonesians invest $20 million in Turkey. In the field of tourism, Rahmat Gobel stated that more than 85,000 Indonesian tourists visited Turkey in 2018, while 70,000 Turkish tourists visited Indonesia, thanks to Garuda Indonesia and Turkish airline flights connecting the two countries. While in the fields of education, Rahmat Gobel is happy that Turkey has become a popular educational destination for 1,500 Indonesian students studying in Turkey. Indonesia and Turkey have been strategic partners since 2011. The two countries have close relations in various fields, not only strong in bilateral cooperation but also collaborative in various organizations such as the Islamic Cooperation Organization, OIC, G20, MICTA Cooperation, Mexico, Indonesia, Korea, Turkey and Australia, and ASEAN. This was stated by Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia, Mahmud Erol Kilic, in his remarks at the 96th Turkish National Day receptions in Jakarta on Tuesday night. Considering the enormous potentials possessed by the two countries, Ambassador Mahmud Erol Kilic believes that Indonesia and Turkey have a lot of opportunities to expand relations, especially in trade and industry.
Given the high potentials of Turkey and Indonesia as two fast-developing countries, we believe there is much room for further development of our brotherly relations, especially in the fields of trade and defense industry. Indonesia is one of the largest trade partners of Turkey in the Asia-Pacific region. We should intensify our efforts to achieve the common target of $10 billion bilateral trade volume by the year 2023.
Turkish Ambassador Mahmud Erol Kilic added that the relation between Indonesia and Turkey have been going on since the 16th century. In the 19th century, Turkey established its General Consulate in Batavia or Jakarta. Indonesia and Turkey will celebrate 70 years diplomatic relations in 2020. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
listener. Welcome back to Commentary. Today, it is about working visit of President Joko Widodo to Papua. President Joko Widodo visited Papua for the first time in his second administration for 2019-2024 period. This phenomenal visit in the heating situation after turmoil in September and October at least could show that the situation in Papua is safe and under control. President Joko Widodo conveyed his promise and commitment, namely developing road infrastructure, market, hospital, and airport. One of the regions visited in West Papua is Arfak Mountains Regency. In his visit there, the president conveyed his commitment and promise. Besides, he also inaugurated the longest bridge in Papua that uses land mobility to border area with Papua New Guinea. About the president's visit in Papua, Adriana Elizabeth from Papua Research Team of Indonesia Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, said that the visit showed that Papua is still the president's priority. The same issue was done when president invited two Papuans into his cabinet. However, the visit will be less effective if it doesn't touch the violence and human rights violation issues happened in Papua. Meanwhile, key expert of Presidential Staff Office, Ali Mohtar Ngabalin, said that Papua became instrumental choice for the president in his first working visit because Eastern Indonesia is his priority. Thus, Papua is his first place to visit after inauguration. It is actually natural if Papua becomes priority of the current government since turmoil in the region is a repeating story. Papua issue needs extra careful measure. In recent United Nations General Assembly, a representative of Pacific country mentioned about the situation but that had been answered well by Indonesian young diplomat. Besides, actually, United Nations agenda did not discuss Papuan issue. Infrastructure development in Papua should be increased so that high economic costs can be reduced. But the development requires great fund. With scheme offered in the current government, development funding can be solved. In addition, violence cases can be resolved wisely and use Papuan cultural approach so that the turmoil can be reduced. And therefore, there is no more human rights violation and discrimination in Papua. Well, listener, that was today's commentary.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on October 31, 1984, when Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was killed. Indira Gandhi was Indian Prime Minister on the period of 1966 until 1977 and continue 1980 until he was killed on October 31, 1984. He was shot by his two bodyguards who embraced the teachings of Sikkims. The action was triggered by his instruction to soldiers to attack Golden Temple in Punjab. The temple was the headquarters of Sikh followers who wanted Punjab as their country. To honor Indira Gandhi, now his name is memorized as one of airports in New Delhi. Next event is that in 2003, Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad resigned after 22 years in power. October 31, 2003 became the last day of Mahathir Mohamad who was in power in Malaysia. He entrusted the mandate of Deputy Prime Minister Abdullah Badawi to continue the government. Badawi led Malaysia until general election was held. Dr. Mahathir was deemed meritorious in changing Malaysia from previous as isolated state to become developing country in industrial field. He has done great changing since independence of Malaysia in 1957. However, his government's era could not be separated with controversy. He was criticized as authoritarian leader, especially related to the dismissal and arrest of his deputy prime minister at the time, Anwar Ibrahim. The last event is on World City Day. In 2013, the resolution number 68/239 General Assembly of United Nations determined on October 31st as World City Day, which aims to encourage international community to think issues on city, to encourage cooperation among countries in catching opportunity and to handle challenge of urbanization, and also to support sustainable urban development throughout the world. The day has been commemorated since 2014. Being suppressed in the city at the time, some of the world's population have lived in urban areas. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bagaikan debu.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in the English service from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next one, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, entitled Bantimurung National Park, enters the ASEAN Heritage Park list. Bantimurung Bulu Saraung National Park in Maros Regency, South Sulawesi, has officially been decided as the ASEAN Heritage Park. Head of Bantimurung Bulu Saraung National Park, Yusak Mangetan, received declaration charter as the ASEAN Heritage Park at the 6th ASEAN Heritage Park Conference held in Laos on October 21-25, 2019. The ASEAN Heritage Park is an effort to preserve the areas with certain biodiversity or extraordinary uniqueness by member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. A few years ago, 4 national parks in Indonesia which entered in the ASEAN Heritage Park list are Gunung Loser, Kerinci, Lawrence, and Waikambas National Parks. While 5 national parks which include in the ASEAN Heritage List and also have predicate as the UNESCO World Heritage Site are Kinabalu National Park in Malaysia, Lawrence National Park in West Papua, Tubataha Coral Natural Park in Philippines, Mount Hamiguitan Range Wildlife Reserve in Philippines, and Khao Yai National Park in Thailand. Yusak Mangetan, in his written statement at the reception declaration ceremony on Monday, October 28, said that he had the opportunity to deliver material in one of the seminar sessions themed Ecotourism, Business and Conservation. In another session, there was also held a cultural night at Champasak Grand Hotel Laos, presenting traditional customs and culture of respective countries. Furthermore, Yusak Mangetan said that Bantimurung Bulu Saraung National Park has 43,750 hectares wide. Administratively, the national park area is located between Maros Regency and Pangkajene Islands or Pangkep Regency. The Bantimurung Bulu Saraung National Park also has various uniqueness such as karst, caves with beautiful stalactites and stalagmites, as well as various species of butterfly. Scientist Alfred Russel Wallace called Bantimurung as the kingdom of butterfly. The national park becomes tourism destination object, which presents natural tourism of steep limestone hill valley plus tropical flora, waterfall and caves as habitat of various species including butterfly. For those who want to learn prehistoric era, they can visit Leang Leang Prehistoric Cave, where the visitors can see ancient hand paintings at the wall of the cave. That was My Indonesia.
Tiba saat mengerti jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskan lara, merajut asa, menjalin mimpi, hendakkan sepi-sepi. Membawamu
Thank you very much for listener who still join us in English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next one, there will be information about culture or tourism destination in Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Japin Dance. On October 23, more than 10,000 of Japin dancers wearing Pontianak Malayan typical clothes, namely Telok Belanga and Kurung, coloring Jalan Rahadi Usman in front of Mayor of Pontianak Residence, West Kalimantan Province. The dancers consisted of state employees, students, as well as public. They joined to the Japin dance together to break Muri record as the most Japin dancers in the commemoration of the 248th Pontianak City anniversary. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I invite you to know more the Japin dance. Japin, Zapin or Japin dance is a social dance which is popular in several regions in Indonesia, namely North Sumatra, West Sumatra, Riau Province and Riau Island Province, West Kalimantan, South Kalimantan and East Kalimantan. Japin was taken from Arabic language, namely Zafin,
which means rapid like movements following beaded music. Japin is one of Malayan dances which have Arabic influence. In addition to entertain and to welcome guests, the dance also is one of propaganda medias through its lyrics. Japin dance is usually performed by men and women. The dance movement is dominantly on foot and hand. The movement is started by greeting, then the dancers doing movements which focus moves back and forth repeatedly. The music which accompanying the Japin dance consists of two elements, namely sound of beaded instruments and Malayan lyrics as moral messages. Japin dance only uses two music instruments, namely marwas and gambus. Meanwhile, the Japin dance, which has been acculturated, usually accompanied by various instruments such as accordion, tambourine, gambus, marwas, guitar, and drum. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Yang mulai ku rasa, yang
More about Indonesia is still coming for you in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Anyway, the next one will be about interesting things related to or happening in Indonesia. Next one will be Miss Elani.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we present you information on Indonesian Contemporary Art and Design 2019. Indonesian Contemporary Art and Design was present again in Jakarta starting from October 16th until November 24th, 2019. It is an exhibition which collaborates designs, art, technology, entertainment, and hotel industry. The event also involves interior designers, graphic designers, photographers, videographers, writers, painters, sculptors, filmmakers, and many others. The event is held annually to explore wealth of Indonesian local wisdom with contemporary style. The event is a platform in big scale to promote Indonesia contemporary design and art. This year, Indonesian Contemporary Art and Design has a theme, X Factor, which intends as evidence that the event has been initiated since 2009. Implemented by Yayasan Design Plus Art Indonesia, works performed in the event 2019 consists of two zones. The first zone is In Focus, which displays work of 10 famous designers, Rinaldi Yuardi, Rinaldi Yunardi, Agus Suwage, Dolorosa Sinaga, Ade Purnomo, FX Harsono, Hadi Prana, Hardiman Rajab, Nirwan Dewanto, Syahrizal Falevi, and Tisna Sanjaya. Meanwhile, the second zone is Next Gen, which displays works of young designers that contributed to contemporary art world in Indonesia, such as Dani Wicaksono, Benny Wicaksono, Ahmad Krisgata, Aliansyah Saniago, Bandu Darmawan, Denny Priyatna, Leni Ratnasari, Wysert, Yaya Sung, and many other artists. The event also presents special works. One of them is Angela Ciabanu's work, jewelry designer from Romania. Different from previous year, this year Indonesian Contemporary Art and Design becomes open submission for the first time, where there are 8 creative artists who are chosen to display their works. Besides art exhibition, the event will hold a Nation Contemporary Art and Design Award. The awards will be given to creative artists who have a major role on the development of contemporary design and art in Indonesia. The event also conducts various conventions of art, design, and film, which aims to inspire and to expand public insight on art. That was our segment for today, Miss Eleni.
Thanks for listening.
Besides a lot of information, we also have presented a lot of music. Next one, we'll mix it into one in musical information.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a song by Nika Ardila entitled Bintang Kehidupan. starting her career as a professional singer by releasing album Serber Kasinar in 1989, made Nika Ardila was famously known among people, especially the music lovers. The slow rock genre album, which was produced by Daddy Dores, sold out until 500,000 copies. Moreover, at the end of 1989, her album titled Bintang Kehidupan also succeed not only in the country but also in Southeast Asia. No wonder this album sold out to 2 million copies. The leading song of the album, entitled Bintang Kehidupan, composed by Daddy Dores. This song tells about someone who are lonely because they no longer believe in love. However, they believe someday someone will come and make them happy as the star of life. Listener, let's listen to the song Bintang Kehidupan by Nika Ardila. Enjoy the song.
If there is a beginning, there is an ending, but we from the Voice of Indonesia is not ending, we are just changing from English into another language service. So make sure for the listeners of English service, send your criticism, suggestion, question or anything you want to say about what we have presented to you so that we can bring you more or better services. You can send it to our email voi@voanews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefanus. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.